We're glad you've joined us for today's program. Brave is the Bible teaching ministry of Jeff Swarzentraub, senior pastor of Brave Church in Denver, Colorado. Brave exists to challenge brave warriors for courageous kingdom advancement. Today on Brave, Pastor Jeff begins his message, Keys for Spiritual Growth, from the series Exodus, and helps you discover how spiritual keys give us access to a deeper relationship with God. Pastor Jeff will get started in just a moment, but first, we want to tell you that you can find many more resources to help you grow in your walk at PastorJeff.com. And that's also where you can sign up for weekly email devotions from Pastor Jeff. Visit PastorJeff.com today to sign up for encouragement right in your inbox. Now here's today's program.
Today I want to talk about three keys of spiritual growth. I want to talk about three keys of spiritual growth. And there's a lot of things that we could talk about when it comes to this, but I want to talk about three keys, three bedrocks for us when it comes to spiritual growth. And we all know that keys are important. Whether it's to undo a lock, whether you don't even have a keys anymore and you use a key fob, or whether you use your phone to get into a room, you realize that a key is what gives access to a place that you otherwise would not be able to get in. Fortunately for me, at Christmas, some of the family that loves me so much got me a special keychain that I can put on my key, that when I use my phone, I can't find my keys. It will send out a message to me. It will beep. It'll tell me where in my house I need to walk and how many feet I am away from my keys, because I realize without my keys, I can't get in my truck. Without my keys, I can't get into our church. Without my keys, there's a lot of things that I don't have access to. Well, the same is true for us spiritually. Without certain spiritual keys, it's hard to unlock the fullness of everything that God wants you to be. And the reality is that God created you, and God loves you, and God wants to be in a relationship with you. And God has given us His word so that we can know how to experience that relationship to the full. And here in Exodus chapter 23, He's going to highlight three keys that are so important to us if we're going to continue to grow in Christ, if we're going to continue to be the fullness of all that He wants you to be. Now, I've enjoyed teaching through the book of Exodus. It's been a phenomenal book. I hope you've enjoyed it as much as I have. But you see, amen, you see that God had a plan for His people. He had a plan for the nation of Israel. And when the Pharaoh said he didn't like the Hebrews, God says, I'll do one better. I'll send a deliverer and I'll let him grow up in your home. And God had His hand on Moses from the time that he was an infant all the way as He's delivered him. He sent Moses back into Egypt after he had been wandering in the desert for 40 years at the age of 80. He goes back and he tells Pharaoh, let my people go. We see these amazing plagues that God delivers through Moses to the nation of Egypt. And then when they escape, we see all these miracles. We see the parting of the Red Sea. We see the crushing of the Egyptian army. We see God provide water. We see God provide food. We see God provide quail. We see God defeat all of their enemies. And where we left off, God was on Mount Sinai and God was giving His commandments to His people. We studied the Ten Commandments and why they're still applicable and how they work in our lives to show us the holiness of God, to show us our unrighteousness and our need for our Savior. And then last week, for those of you that were here, you probably got to hear a sermon that you'll never, ever hear again as we went through three chapters of case law and how God loves His people so much that even though His people weren't completely living for Him, He was giving a blueprint for how to use His law in specific situations so that everyone knew in that situation that they were loved and honored by God and that we could see God's righteousness and His justice at work. And here at the end of chapter 23, as we continue on, God is going to unlock three keys for us that we need if we're going to continually grow in our relationship with the Lord. So I want to invite you this morning, open up your Bible to Exodus chapter 23. We're going to begin in verse 10 and work our way through the chapter today. And we're going to see what these keys for spiritual growth are. Hear what the word of the Lord says, starting in verse 10. In these first three verses, He gives us the first one. He says, you shall sow your land for 6 years and gather its yield, but on the seventh year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow so that the needy of your people may eat, and whatever they leave, the beast of the field may eat. You are to do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. 6 days you are to do your work, but on the seventh day, you shall cease from your labor so that your ox and your donkey may, and here's the key word, rest. and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Really, in these first three verses, he gives us the first key for spiritual growth. And the first key for spiritual growth is this: rest in the Lord. Rest in the Lord. God calls us to rest in him. Now, he gives us the way to do that. And this is specifically given to Israel. And he tells them this: for 6 years, you're to work and work really hard. You will find nowhere in the Bible does God bless slothfulness or laziness. Just a quick read through the Proverbs, you will see that God hates the lazy. He hates the slothful. But what you will see in the Bible is, even for those who work hard, God says, I have a way for you to work, and I have a way for you to do it in such a way that your life and your pattern of life can sustain itself. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to work for 6 years, but on the seventh year, let your field lie fallow. Don't till it, don't plow it, don't do it with your vineyards, don't do it with your olive garden, don't do it with anything. Just let it sit. That way, those that don't have enough food can make their way through your property. They can gather what they need. And what's left over, then your animals that you're taking care of, they can gather and take what they need. And God promises that if you'll do it this way, he'll make sure that you're blessed. He's showing how to be diligent for 6 years and to rest on the seventh. And then he makes the same statement that he's made in the Ten Commandments, where he said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Because Exodus 20 verse 11 said, for in 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the universe. And he rested on the seventh day. Why did God rest? He wasn't tired. He wasn't stressed. He wasn't exhausted. He wasn't worn out. He was providing an example to all of us for how to live our lives. And to this day, if you go to Israel, from Friday night at sundown until Saturday night at sundown, it's called the Sabbath or Shabbat, and nobody works. If you're staying in a hotel, in all likelihood, the elevator won't work. It'll open at every single floor and close at every single floor. And as an American, it will drive you absolutely crazy, right? Because they don't want you to have to push the button, because pushing the button is considered work. So on the Sabbath, the elevator goes automatically. And this was God's design for Israel. Now, why would God say that they need to rest in him? Because when you rest, you get replenished. Let me just ask by show of hands, just this week, even if it was for 5 minutes or less, how many of you experienced just a little bit of anxiety or stress of any kind this week? Okay. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. That's why God gave us the Sabbath. Now for Israel, God had him set aside from Friday night till Saturday night. There are some people today that say it doesn't even count as a Sabbath unless you do that. But we know as believers in Christ that that is not the case, because God in the book of Romans, through the apostle Paul, who was inspired by the Spirit, tells us this. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 5, he's talking about food and he's talking about dates. And when he talks about dates, he says this, Romans 14, 5. One person regards one day above another. Another regards every day alike. Each person must be fully convinced in his own mind. What we know to be true is that after Jesus rose from the dead, and he rose on a Sunday, the early church began to meet on Sunday. So they didn't keep the Sabbath the way that the Jews met the Sabbath. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the fulfillment or the end of the law. So here's what he tells us about Sabbath. He tells us that we're in the Sabbath rest when we're in Christ. So God doesn't specifically tell us that there's one specific day that we must set aside. But the principle of it remains. The principle of it remains. The fact that so many of you raised your hands and talked about stress or anxiety, and the ones who didn't, it was because you were too stressed and anxious to raise your hand, shows that we need time set aside in our life to refresh in the Lord. Now, refreshing in the Lord, it does not mean just escaping to the mountains and sleeping. Most of us rest when we're so stressed and burned out that we're like, I gotta relax, I gotta get unstressed. And that's what we call rest. That's not rest. Rest is when you purposely decide before it even happens at the beginning of the week, you're gonna set aside a time to set aside to refresh. And the way that you refresh is you refresh in the Lord. Did you hear what the text said? Did you hear what the text talked about? He said this back in Exodus chapter 23, Exodus 23, verse 12. He says, even so that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female slave, as well as your stranger, may refresh themselves. Refresh. When you'll take the time intentionally to refresh yourself in the Lord, your whole world changes. Your whole world changes. I've been convicted by this over the course of the last year, and I've shared some of this with you, but now as a routine in my life, and I try to stay pretty good at it, from about Thursday night dinner time till about Friday night at dinner time, I shut off. I spend time trying to refresh myself in the Lord. Sometimes that's by reading the word or just praying or just meditating on him. Sometimes it's by just journaling. Other times it's by spending time with my family. Sometimes it's by watching a movie that may be refreshing or a sporting event that energizes me. Sometimes it may be studying a topic that I just haven't had time to study and I want to do this, or creating a new hobby or developing something that refreshes me. And what I find is when I spend an entire 24 hours doing that, everything else in my week has a heck of a lot more perspective.
You're listening to Brave, and today Pastor Jeff is sharing his message, Keys for Spiritual Growth, from the series Exodus, helping you discover how spiritual keys give us access to a deeper relationship with God. We'll return to Pastor Jeff in just a moment, but before we do, we want to help you develop the habit of daily prayer and scripture reading by sending you the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which includes daily Bible readings, prayer prompts, and space to journal your prayers. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy, simply go to PastorJeff.com and give a gift to keep teachings like this one today going strong through Brave Media. Again, that's PastorJeff.com. Now, let's return to today's teaching.
Sometimes it's by watching a movie that may be refreshing or a sporting event that energizes me. Sometimes it may be studying a topic that I just haven't had time to study and I want to do this, or creating a new hobby or developing something that refreshes me. And what I find is when I spend an entire 24 hours doing that, everything else in my week has a heck of a lot more perspective. For those of you that are here today saying there's absolutely no way I could set aside an entire day a week, you're just too busy, according to the Word of God. You're just too busy. And the reason that you're experiencing stress and anxiety is that you're too busy. Let me ask you this. I never have this instrument with me up here, this tool. How many of you could turn this off for 24 hours? Just shut it down. Put it on airplane mode. Put it on do not disturb. Because it has a way that when it buzzes or beeps, that we're like, well, what was that? Oh, it was an email. That wasn't an important one. What was that? Oh, that was so-and-so. I haven't talked to. What was that? I mean, do you set aside time? Because what I'm discovering is God wants our best first and foremost. And the way that we refresh in the Lord is to do that. Now I want to read to you a psalm. You'll know this psalm, many of you that grew up in the church. Psalm chapter 46 and verse 10. What does it say? Cease striving. You know what cease means? Stop. Slow down. Stop striving and know that I am God. And then he goes on to say, I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what God was telling Israel? They had a responsibility to be the light to all the nations. And here's what he told them. You need to stop trying to be that. Let me be that through you. Cease striving and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I'll be exalted in the earth. It was God's way of saying, stop striving. I got this. I don't need you. I don't need you. God doesn't need any of us. Now, God chooses to use us in the propagation of the gospel and in the spread of who Jesus Christ is. But if any of us dies, it doesn't hinder God's work on the planet. He is not dependent upon any of us. And when we rest and refresh ourselves in the Lord, we're reminded about all those things that we deem so important that are really not that big of a deal. Here's what stop really means. Stop what? Stop striving, stop grinding, stop driving, stop stressing, stop working. Just stop. Stop. Just stop. Some of you, your brains work overtime. I know mine does. I have to physically make myself stop thinking about things. Very, very difficult for me. Some of you are wired like that, where to set work aside, or moms and dads not thinking about your kids, to set that aside. I mean, how do I do that? Well, when you put it back on the Lord, like 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your anxieties upon him because he cares for you. You spend a day casting all your anxieties on Jesus and you tell him, here's what's going on in my life and here's what I've been stressed about this week and this is anxious for me and this is what's going on at school or this is what's going on at work or this is what's going on in marriage or here's what's happening with my kids or kids, here's what's happening with my family, with my mom and dad, and I just can't figure this stuff out, but I don't even want to think about it today. I just want to tell you, you carry the load. That's where we get refreshed in the Lord. Do you spend time resting in the Lord? Rest is not taking extra time to sleep, and rest is not just getting away from the hustle and bustle of culture. Rest is intentionally spending time with Jesus. It's resting in him. It's resting in the Lord. It's reminding you of the fact that there is one God. His name is Jesus. He's ruling and reigning over the whole world, and he cares about you. And when you cease striving and you know, or you're reminded of the fact that you believe that he is God, he will be exalted among the nations. He will be exalted in the earth. And all the things that you are striving for and grinding after and you just can't get through, God's like, I got this. I got this. For some of you, that day will be Sunday. It's the best day for you. It's a day to kind of take time away. It's to come to church with your family. It's to worship his name. It's to celebrate who he is. It's to be refreshed in the word. It's to go home and journal. That's a great day for you. But can you pick a time? There's no mandate in the Bible that says you have to pick a 24-hour period as a New Testament believer or you're breaking God's law. But it sure seems to me that if that was the principle in the Old Testament, how much more should that be a principle in my life today? Am I taking time to refresh myself in the Lord? How are you doing with that? Do you do it weekly? I mean, I kind of like the idea of every 6 years taking that seventh year off. That sounds kind of good to me, right? And what was God saying? If you're diligent in those 6 years, I'll provide you enough for the seventh. And oh, by the way, as you recharge, that will be good for you. And we understand this in every other area of our life, don't we? I mean, we know that when we get ready to take off in an airplane that they've done all sorts of pre-flight checks and they've checked the gas and made sure that the wings still attach and make sure there's enough food and making sure the pilot's there on time and he's gone through all that, making sure there's brakes, making sure the landing gear functions. And even while you can sit there impatiently saying, what's taking so long, aren't you glad you're not on a flight where the pilot comes on and says, bad news, the wing's loose and we have no landing gear because we didn't take the time to rest and refresh ourselves. Or how about your car? I mean, a car needs maintenance. I've learned this over the years, and I'm pretty good about putting oil and gas in my car on a regular basis. However, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer when it comes to mechanical things. And for a period of time, my car, my truck had been making this noise every time I was stopping. And I was pulling my son into school a couple weeks ago, and the guy who was directing traffic stopped me. He's like, hey, you got a problem with your brakes. Do you hear that? I'm like, that's what it is. So I called my friend immediately, and he's like, well, yeah, you need to get that truck to me immediately. So I drove, and he goes, by the way, don't drive it anymore. Just, you shouldn't be driving that vehicle. I'm like, can I get to your house? He goes, probably, but don't drive it anywhere else. So I didn't drive it for 24 hours, took it to his house. He called me after he started looking at it. He had shown pictures to all his friends. I was getting blown up by my friends who were laughing at me. Apparently, my left tire had no brake pad on it whatsoever, and all the others were so worn down. He's like, haven't you ever checked these? I'm like, I didn't even know I had them on my truck. How would I know? I mean, the point is, if we don't take time to refresh, that's what happens to us. We would have understood if we grew up in an agricultural society where we didn't have vehicles and we rode horses, we would know that our horses need to stop and they need to eat and they need to rest and they need to drink water. How much more do we need to do that? Especially if God puts in his word for his people, rest. As a culture, we stink at this. We're horrible at it. We say, I don't have enough time to rest. And then we champion people who don't rest. We celebrate people who don't rest. We celebrate people who don't sleep. We celebrate people who don't refresh in the Lord. We celebrate people that just work, 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 work. That's not worthy of celebration. You're not being your best for the Lord. You can never be your best for the Lord. Jesus spent a whole passage in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and following, it says, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. And he sums up the whole passage saying, each day will have enough worries of its own. So even if you solve every single problem today that's on your plate and you go to sleep and you wake up tomorrow, you're going to have more problems. In this world, you will have tribulation. Promise you. You cannot solve the world's problems. Only God can. God gives us a day of rest so that we will understand who he is and who we are. And if you spend one day a week and you spend intentional time with him and you come up with ways to do that, you will grow in Christ. It's one of the keys to unlock the door in your relationship with Christ. You might say, I can't do that. I don't have 24 hours in a row. I can't do it. Then start taking steps towards it. Maybe it's three or four different days that you are able to pull aside for 3 or 4 or 5 hours, and you just kind of refresh that way a few different times a week. You figure out what it looks like for you. This is not a law. It's not a mandate. It's not you better or else or God's mad at you. It's if you really want to be your best in Christ, if you really want to unlock who God wants you to be, rest. Do it for him. Because when you stop doing that, then you can start doing the things that God wants you to. You can start pursuing him. You can start relaxing. You can start detoxing. You can start decompressing. You can start focusing. You can start laughing again. I mean, when's the last time you just laughed for the sake of laughing because something was funny? I mean, for some of us, we don't have time to laugh. We don't have time to enjoy life. We don't have time to eat a meal with our family. We don't have time for anything because we're go, 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 go. And you're going to blink and your life's going to be over and you're going to wonder what in the world happened. God gave you everything for enjoyment. So take time to rest in him, rest in the Lord. And the key word for that is cessation. Cessation, cease, stop, just put on the brakes. Where can you put on the brakes? And I promise you with whatever you choose, those will be times that people try to interfere with, unknowingly many times. If you set aside this amount of time, hey, it's just gonna be for me today for a few hours. I'm just gonna get away with the Lord. Promise you, at that time, that's when crisis will hit. But if you can become more and more disciplined at seeking the face of the Lord and pursuing him and resting in him and thanking him for all he's done, you'll change. I mean, think about this. What has God done for you? What has God done for you? I mean, if God loved you so much that he sent his only begotten son to die for all your sins, and he's given you life in his name, and that his Holy Spirit is deposited forever and ever, and that you're facing a life of hell, and now you have a life of eternity with Christ, and you're gonna be punished, and now you got bliss forever and ever, and everything you do, Jesus goes before you, and he's with you in all things. Like, what do you not have time for? Because if you don't remind yourself of that, you will get so earthly focused, and some of you would say, I'm just too busy. You're ticked off, you're angry, you're frustrated, you're all these things because you're so into the world because you've never taken time to just rest in the Lord. When I rest in the Lord, I still see all the same things in the world. Sometimes I see they're a lot worse than I thought they were, but I'm not as bothered by them because I know my Lord has it. Rest, rest, rest in the Lord. That's key number one. Key number two is this, worship the Lord. Worship the Lord. Notice what he starts by saying in verse 13. Now concerning everything which I have said to you, he said a lot, hasn't he? Now concerning everything I said to you, be on guard and do not let mention the name of other gods, nor let them be heard from your mouth. The first commandment is to worship the Lord your God and to serve him only. Now he's saying, don't even talk about other gods. Do you know why God doesn't want us to talk about other gods? Because there are no other gods. The only other gods there are made up idols in your life. There is the Father, Son, and Spirit. There are no other gods. So stop talking about them as if they exist. That's his heart. That's his heart. He wants to be worshiped. He's never changed. That's why in the New Testament, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I'm it. You either have a relationship with the Father through me or you do not have a relationship with the Father. You don't know God. That's what he was telling everybody. God says, don't even mention it. The only time we really see God giving affirmation to mention other gods is when a prophet of God is denouncing them and saying, that's not a God. Confucius is not a God. Allah is not a God. The Hinduisms and their 3,000, they're not gods. They're all made up idols through which demons hide behind them all. Then we could talk about them. As long as we understand that the Godhead is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Father is not the Son and the Spirit, the Son is not the Spirit and the Father, and the Spirit is not the Father and the Son, but they are one essence. And how that all works out, here's what I would say, glory to God that we don't know. That's who he is. He's so incredible, we can't even describe him. That's who our God is. But worship the Lord. Now, here's what he's gonna tell Israel to do. He's gonna tell them about three different feasts that they're gonna observe. Notice verse 14. Three times a year you shall observe a feast to me. You shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread. For 7 days you are to eat unleavened bread as I commanded you at the appointed time in the month of Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt, and none shall appear before me empty handed.
Thanks for listening to Brave. That was Pastor Jeff with his message, Keys for Spiritual Growth, from the series Exodus, helping you discover how spiritual keys give us access to a deeper relationship with God. Before we let you go, be sure to request your copy of the 21 Days of Prayer Journal, which helps you make prayer a priority in your life this year. It's our thanks for your gift of support today. To request your copy when you give today, go to PastorJeff.com. And while you're there, remember to sign up for email updates from Brave so you never miss new resources designed to equip you for courageous living. That's PastorJeff.com. Thank you for joining us today.